2020 has been a tough pill to swallow. Three rising seniors were looking forward to a once-in-a-lifetime experience to Washington, D.C. Instead, their trip got canceled. Their names are Jalen Wallace, Angela Fang, and Gavin Douglas, all 17, belonging to the age group of children born after 1996, also known as Generation Z. Hi, my name is Angela Fang, and today you have the opportunity to virtually experience our side of the story and how we have handled the year 2020. On the news, you've heard about the global pandemic, worldwide protests, and different events of racism. When COVID-19 first broke out, a majority of the U.S. population specifically blamed and harassed Asian Americans for the virus, including the president. But that wasn't the only event where Americans called it racism. It happened after George Floyd, an unarmed African-American man, was murdered by a Minneapolis police on May 28th. Following Mr. Floyd's death, protests have erupted in at least 140 U.S. cities, according to New York Times. Today, I'll ask Jalen, a fellow member, is there evidence that police brutality incidents are caused by race? If so, what is the evidence?
Yes, there is. Reporters from a Nature article states that various data sets have been researched and about 1,000 civilians are killed each year by law enforcement officers in the United States. By estimate, black men are 2.5 times more likely than white men to be killed by police in their lifetime. This means that 96 black men per 100,000 are at risk of being killed by the police, being followed up by Native Americans and Latinos. In another study, black people who are fatally shot by police seem to be twice as likely as white people to be killed while unarmed. The numbers are not only significantly higher for black men, as black women are also killed by police officers more than any other race, often, if not always, unarmed.
And what is your opinion on the unpeaceful protesting?
My opinion is that although businesses are being destroyed and stolen from, the black community is tired of the way we are being treated and therefore are resorting to action that will draw attention to our problem. The subtle reminders that we are being mistreated clearly were not working, so people took their pain out in a different way. Rioting and looting are violent measures, but the people are hungry for change and sought to be heard using a different method. The use of social media is also a huge factor in the unpeaceful protesting. With more images and videos being spread across the world, government officials are being put on notice that things need to change for the better.
As an African-American male, how do you think the protests have benefited people of color?
The protests have brought awareness to the cause of people of color. Genesis 15 and 13 of the Bible says, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. There is no coincidence that people are fed up and have taken to more extreme actions to gain justice and equality for people of color, as slavery began in the U.S. in the year 1619. It is the year 2020, and if you subtract those two, you will see that we are in the 401st year. People of color will no longer be complacent with the way they are treated. We have been destined for change in this year, and we are taking it head and heart strong."
Yes, definitely. And you know, racism will always be present no matter what. So when people say Black Lives Matter before other lives, what do they mean by that?
I want to start off by saying just because people say Black Lives Matter does not mean all lives do not matter. I have a perfect analogy for this situation. Say you live in a neighborhood and your house is on fire. Of course, all of the houses in the neighborhood matter, but yours is the one on fire and in danger, meaning your house matters the most in that moment. Black people are being unnecessarily killed by police across the country, and there are statistics to support this. We are also being killed at a disproportionate rate for reasons that should not have resulted in murder. Although all lives matter, black lives are in the most danger now.
What can we do to reduce the amount of racism in our country today?
I believe we can bring awareness to it and actually bring about change. The definition of systematic racism is a form of racism that is embedded as a normal practice within society. This must stop in order to bring about change. Racism is spread across the United States, but if people in power put their feet down and denormalize it, then people would not be openly racist.
I also got to speak with Senator Tim Scott and asked him, does he believe that racism is what's preventing some people from becoming successful? Here's what he told me.
I believe that the greatest impediment to success in America is not the color of my skin. We have had 244 years of interesting and provocative history, but I will tell you that today we are better off than at any other time in American history as it relates to race relations. You cannot tell that by watching the news. You cannot tell that by listening to the pundits, but the facts are very simple. You can look at them from an aggregate value, even from crime to police reform, to incomes, to economic opportunity and mobility. All the factors say that we are actually moving in the right direction. So by the time you get here, which is at least 12 years, I assume you'll be in a position where you can make the country infinitely better than it is today, but without as much of the challenges that we have faced. But the biggest issue to success in America is intestinal fortitude. It is the ability to stick with it when the desire to do it is gone.
Not only have there been protests against racism, but there has also been disputes among our people about COVID-19. When my state had its first positive case for COVID-19 back in March, I wore a mask in public to be on the safe side. While stopped at a traffic light, a woman stopped in the lane beside me, snapped a photo, then drove off looking angry. She, however, did not wear a mask. I believe the reason she took a picture of me was for wearing the mask while being an Asian American. At this moment, I'll ask Gavin, a fellow member, how has he handled the pandemic? Gavin, how has COVID-19 personally affected you and your family?
None of my family members have tested positive for the coronavirus, but it has affected us very greatly. We follow mask protocol as well as social distancing guidelines while in public to ensure safety for us as well as others.
Yes, and in your opinion, what are some positives and negatives of COVID-19?
Environmentally, COVID-19 has had many positive effects, such as helping with the carbon emissions in our atmosphere and the amount of waste produced by each country during lockdown. Although these are great, these small benefits are no compensation for the large amount of deaths across the globe.
Did it ever hit you that the U.S. would be hit the hardest? How so?
I believe many months ago, we all saw the coronavirus on the news and never expected it to be so huge in the United States. Sometime in March, when all the schools shut down and the society came to a pause, that's when I knew it was such a huge deal and that we were all in danger.
And I would like to ask, during 2020, what are some ways American states have united?
This has, without a doubt, been an extremely tough year for everyone. People have came together and united for many reasons. One thing that impresses me was the unity during the peaceful Black Lives Matter protest, seeing the community come together to protest against the problems that face our society today. This goes to show that when citizens are together, we are stronger when united.
And not only have we been United States, but most importantly, I believe that our generation have come together, making our voices heard, demanding for changes. Thank you for listening to this segment of We Speak 2020.